Hello, Community Church. It's so great to be with you this morning. And thank you, Pastor Steve, for your prayers. You know, wherever you are right now, whether you're at home or someplace else, we are one body and we are together. Because we are one body constituted by the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. And no matter how far you are away from me and how far you are away from each other, Jesus is in our midst. And I really, really thank you, Jesus, for making that possible. And visitors, if you're joining us for the first time this morning, just want to say that it is my prayer that you experience the love of Jesus Christ this morning, because you are in our midst and the Holy Spirit is in our midst. So, we are in our final week of our Worship, World, and Community series. In the first week, Pastor Steve preached powerfully on worship and he gave us a three-word summary. And I wonder if you remember what those words are. You can type it into the chat box and share. So worship changes things. Do you remember that? And last week, on world, so worship world, he talked about how we've been sent to love the world, just as Jesus was sent by the Father. And the three words were sent to love. And today on community, the three words I have is power from above. Following on from what Pastor Steve talked about, it will be sent to love with power from above. So there are many ways that we can talk about community church, but as I was praying for this sermon and just pondering over what's been happening in Hong Kong, what might happen in Hong Kong, and I don't know what might happen or it's going to happen, but two words, God brought two words to mind. The first word being empowered, and the second word, trust. So I wasn't quite sure what those words actually meant, but when I was sitting in Pastor Steve's sermon last week, I felt the Lord say this to me. Yes, I have sent my people to love the world, and I want them to love the world, and especially Hong Kong, during these challenging times, because this is when people will truly see me. But they need to know they can't do it on their own. I'm the one who provides. I'm the one with the master plan. I'm the one who can empower. I can empower them to do what they think cannot be done. And so here I am, humbly bringing before you and to you what I believe is God's word for this morning. Spirit-empowered community. But first, I want to hear from you, as Pastor Steve mentioned just now, we're going to get you involved. So here's the question. When you think of a spirit-empowered community, what's the first word that comes to mind? Okay, as Pastor Steve said, a word or two. Okay, maybe even a phrase, but try not to do a dissertation. So you can type it into the comment box on the YouTube page. And and we will interact. Okay, I'm going to start by maybe sharing with you some of the contributions from my Tuesday Ladies group. Okay, so the first one, two words, Holy Spirit. Wow, very good. Spirit-empowered community, of course, the Holy Spirit is central to such a community. And then we have confidence in the sense that God is behind all of it, whatever the it is. And I love that. And I'll be touching on that later. Gifts. Yes, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts to build up the body of Christ. And Paul talks a lot about this. And it is very, very important. It's not quite my focus today, but I'm sure I'll be touching on this topic another time. And then I have prayer community with results, meaning the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit mediates God's presence. And let's see what we've got here. We have love, grace, prayer, blessings. And we have serve, missions, service. These are all great words. They do describe a spirit-empowered community. Yeah, a spirit community is full of love and grace. And we are a praying community. And then we serve others. We go out there to show them the love of Jesus. And blessings. Of course, we are blessed. We are blessed with so many things. We are blessed with Jesus Christ, the most precious one of all. Church, thank you for your contribution. And right now, I'll invite you to pray with me. And then after that, you can continue to type it, your contributions in. Jesus, 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 we love you. We thank you. And it is such a great privilege and honor to worship you and to tell you how much we love you. We bless your holy name. We bless your mighty name. And Jesus, I pray that you prepare our hearts to receive the word that you have for us. And prepare me to speak your living word. The word that is empowered by you. But Lord Jesus, help me to speak words that are filled with your love, filled with your grace. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you move hearts today. The hearts of those who know you, the hearts of those who maybe don't know you yet, the hearts of those who have known you, but perhaps are far away from you. We pray for every heart that listens today to your word. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to start with a story, okay? It's the testimony of this lady. Her name is Marilyn Teague, someone who I've known for many years and someone whom I trust greatly. And if you were here last year, around this time actually, at my ordination, you would have seen her in a video clip. So she was a missionary to the jungles of Papua New Guinea, and then she went to Nepal and Japan and India. And I've sat and listened to her many stories during my years at university, and her stories really helped to make the words in the Bible come alive for me. And so today, I want to share one with you. I wrote to her actually to ask her for a recap, you know, just in case I get so the details might be fuzzy. So I wrote to her last week, and last night I got an email from her. And here's the title of the email: Jesus controls the winds and the rain when you believe him! 1974! Okay, so it was a long email, and I'm only sharing with you a very, very small portion. So she was traveling with a group of people packed into a jeep, and they were in Papua New Guinea, and as they were driving along on mountain roads, they saw these huge black storm clouds moving towards them. And they got to a point where they had to cross the river. It's called the Dunantina River. Now, the condition was treacherous, and there were many people in the jeep. She stopped the jeep, got out, and prayed, and in her words, "The Lord reminded me of when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples, how he stood up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and the winds and the waves obeyed his voice. I prayed with my whole heart in Pidgin. Without premeditating, the words came out of my mouth. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this storm cloud of rain and command it to go away and let us drive home on a dry road in the name of Jesus. Never will I forget," she says, "as I was praying that prayer, the strong wind blew my hair back from my face, blowing easterly. But as I opened the door of the jeep, my hair blew the other way, standing upright on my head. For the strong wind had changed, and now a westerly wind was blowing the storm clouds away from us." She ended the email with this: "Our Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." Do you believe this, church? Do you believe that something like this could actually happen? I don't know if you do, but I can tell you how stories like this from people that I actually trust very much and whom I know personally have really enlarged my view of what is possible through the Holy Spirit. And over the years, I found myself beginning to maybe push the boundaries a little bit, trusting the Holy Spirit more and for more than what my resources say is possible. And for things that happen that I didn't quite understand yet, and maybe to this day, some things I still don't understand. When Jesus was here on earth, his Father empowered him with the Holy Spirit to accomplish the Father's will, to love the world. And then he said in John 20:21, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Luke 24:49, he said to his disciples, "You are going to be my witnesses, but wait until you have been clothed with power from on high." Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, for now, I just want you to remember two words, Judea and Samaria. I'll tell you why later. So Jesus knew how important it was that his disciples were clothed with power from on high, in order for them to love the world like he would, because he himself experienced that. Last week, Pastor Steve preached on Isaiah 61, and he said that Jesus applied part of the passage to himself in Luke 4. And you can see the slide on the screen. I'm going to read it out to you. Luke 4:18-19. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the regaining of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So, you know, in my experience, many people read this passage without taking the first line seriously. And when we don't, we miss out. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So what do we have to take note here? Two things. One, we have to know who the Spirit of God is and what he can do. If I don't know what he can do, I might think, well, I guess I got to make things happen by myself, or mostly by myself. But for Jesus and the disciples, the Bible, the Old Testament, because there was no New Testament then, so the Bible had told them a lot about what this Spirit of God is about, or who this Spirit of God is about. This Spirit was responsible for making the whole world, for giving life to living things, living beings. And this Spirit also means God's presence. And we talked about it earlier just now. And the Spirit could give extraordinary powers to human beings like Samson, who tore the lion apart with his bare hands. Hard to imagine, right? The Spirit of God gives great insight and outstanding wisdom, like in Daniel. The Spirit empowers prophets, especially to speak against oppression and injustice. And the Spirit communicates what God wants. The Spirit empowers and equips leaders like Joshua, like King David, like Moses. So, church, mighty power, revelation, outstanding wisdom, God's presence himself. This, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, was on Jesus. So I want to point out the second thing now. Okay, but I'm going to need your cooperation, and I'm really going to trust in good faith that you will do it. Okay, bring your hand up here, put your other hand there, and then just gently rub a little bit. Now you can squeeze a little bit. Very good. Trusting that you're doing it. Hit it lightly. Can hit it harder. Until it hurts. Ouch. Okay, someone. Okay, so, you know, this is the human body. If I hit it hard, it hurts. And for the human body, like if I don't sleep, I get tired. If I drink too much coffee, I need to use the loo. If I don't take a shower, I smell. Do you believe that when Jesus was doing all the cool stuff on earth, that he had a body like yours, like mine, fully human with human limitations. He got thirsty, he got hungry, he ate like normal people, he drank, and he could get tired. So if he had a human body, how did he do all the cool stuff when he was on earth? So many people say, oh, it's because he's God. He's also God. Yes, it's true. He's also God. But remember, Paul tells us in Philippians 2 that he was in the form, though in the form of God, he emptied himself and took on the human form. He shared in our human nature. He ceased to have access to his divine power except by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he lived and ministered and loved the world with the limitations of a human being, but empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the disciples witnessed that because they were hanging out with him. So I don't know how that makes you feel, but it gives me incredible confidence. Not so much confidence in myself, but confidence in what God can do by the power of the Holy Spirit. It makes me, you know, focus on myself less. You know, in the earlier service, the comments that we got, we had many that said others-centered, less self-focused. And I think that's beautiful. So what did Jesus accomplish by the power of the Holy Spirit? Or how did Jesus love the world by the power of the Holy Spirit? Okay, let me read you this passage again, an expanded version. Same passage as just now, but it's an expanded version. The Spirit of the Lord, the creating Spirit, the Spirit of power and might, the Spirit who brings revelation and outstanding wisdom, the Spirit who tells me what my Father wants me to do is upon me. To teach with authority, Luke 4, to eat and drink and to love people who are poor and have no status in society, throughout Luke, to feed the 5,000 with only 5 loaves and 2 fish, Luke 9. By the way, sometimes we think that God needs us to have all our resources ready before he can do something, but think again. To stand up for justice, to release the demon oppressed, to heal the sick, Luke 5, and comfort the bereaved. To discern what is in the hearts of people, like the hearts of the Pharisees. To have great wisdom when dealing with challenging questions or questions that are just hard to answer, which we face too. Like, as a Christian, are you yellow or blue? As a Christian, are you for or against the national security law? And finally, the Spirit empowered Jesus in the greatest act of loving the world, which was all the way to the cross. Jesus knew what was coming for him. He knew he was going to suffer, and that's why when he was tested in the desert, the devil offered him a shortcut. Hey, bow down and worship me, and you can have the kingdoms of the world without the sufferings of the cross. And Luke 4:1 tells us that Jesus filled with the Spirit. He said, no, I will be obedient to my Father. So this Holy Spirit, this empowering Spirit of God, has been poured out on the day of Pentecost to all of us. Jesus has given this Spirit to his church, who has been sent to love the world like he did and still does. But see, Jesus did not send one person. He sent a community, and not just any community, but a Spirit-empowered community. I wonder what that means for us here at Community Church. What does it mean for us here at Community Church to say, the Spirit is upon me to love Hong Kong? What does it look like for us here at Community Church to say, the Spirit is upon us to love Hong Kong? You know, church, I wish I could give you specifics. Like God said, step 1 to 10 or A to Z, but I don't have those information and I shouldn't make that up. But I can share with you glimpses of what I believe Jesus has put, the Lord has put on my heart about what a spirit community looks like from the books of Acts. Not for us to just copy, you know, but for us to pray and discern and ask, Lord, what do you want us to do? And say, come Holy Spirit. So Acts 2 tells us that the Spirit-empowered believers love one another so much that they value one another more than they value their possessions. I wonder if we love one another like that. I love that in both services, love came out so many times when we asked, what is one word you think about? And perhaps not just more than possessions, but more than our agendas, more than our need for recognition, more than our need to be right. I agree with Tim Keller when he says the quality of a community is the secret ingredient to mission. We cannot win the world without it. You know, early Christians were known to stun people by how they loved. And I was just telling the first service, stun people by how you love. I mean, there are many ways that you can stun people, right? But not normally by how you love. But they love those not just within the community, but outside the community. And you know, it was actually very common and acceptable then to discard babies that you don't want, like female babies, deformed babies, babies out of wedlock. And exposure was the method used. So you leave the babies out there to die from cold, hunger, and sometimes from being eaten by wild animals. You and I might go, oh my gosh, so horrible. But you know what? It was so normal. It was a normalized practice. So you might be on your way to work. Maybe you see some babies there and you might think, oh yeah, poor thing. But you might walk on. Because it was normal. But the Christians would take them in and take care of them. And the Christians also did that for the poor and anyone in society that needed help. And I wonder whether there are things that grieve the heart of God but have been so normalized in our society that they have become, that we have become desensitized to them. Perhaps like this, like you walk past someone on your way to work and you see a homeless person by the side. You may feel sorry for them, but you might just walk on too. Or like the huge income disparity that Pastor Steve mentioned last week, have we become desensitized? It makes me wonder, church, what a community of Christ followers in 21st century Hong Kong could do that will utterly stun the watching world by how we love. Come, Holy Spirit. In Acts 4:8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, answered questions posed by the authorities with great courage and wisdom. Could this be the time more than ever that we need such great courage and wisdom? Come, Holy Spirit. And there was Stephen. Luke tells us in Acts 6 that he was full of God's grace and power, and people could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. Isn't that amazing? So eventually he was seized and stoned, but Luke tells us that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit and was empowered to suffer as he was stoned and empowered to pray this, church, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Do we know of another person who said that or something like that? You know, I don't know if I could pray that prayer if stones are flying at me, or I don't know if I could show mercy towards a person who is on the opposite side of the camp, an opposite camp. Can you? Come, Holy Spirit. Stephen was eventually stoned to death, but was it a sign of ultimate defeat? No. And church, this is really important, and I really want you to hear this and get this. After Stephen died, a great persecution broke out and the church was scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Remember, I asked you to remember to just keep that in mind. Acts 1:8, yep. And so world mission has begun. Probably not in the way that the disciples had anticipated. And do you know that when Stephen was stoned, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was there giving his approval to Stephen's death. And I've often wondered, when Stephen prayed, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them," what impact did that have on the fate of Paul? I wonder if the disciples could have guessed that Paul would later encounter Christ in such a way that his life would completely turn around and he would become a great servant of Jesus Christ. So was Stephen's death a sign of ultimate defeat? You know, church, I understand that times are hard, but hard times are not always a sign of defeat. What happened to Stephen and the church after his death testified to God's sovereignty, even through opposition, through events which we may look at and think, it doesn't make sense, it's evil. But God's ultimate purpose always prevails. I said earlier that God has the master plan, and the Holy Spirit orchestrates that, giving us each a part to play, asking us to trust that He has the bigger picture. We don't. So you may not understand all that's happening in Hong Kong right now or what's going to happen in the near future or the far future. But it is exactly in such a time as this that we want to say, "Come, Holy Spirit." I'm going to end with one very, very short testimony. There was this missionary who visited this very remote village just at one time to share the gospel with a few people, and then left for many years because was not allowed to go back there. And after many, many years, this missionary went back to the village, and to his surprise, the whole village had become Christians. And they knew the Bible by heart. How could that happen? He asked them, and they said, it just happened. The Holy Spirit came. Church, I wonder whether, I'm not saying that God always has to work like that. God works any way He likes. But are we open to the possibility that is beyond our imagination? The possibility that just doesn't make sense when we look at what kind of resources we have. We don't want to limit Jesus or limit what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives, our individual lives, or even as a community. Brothers and sisters, we began this series learning that we must worship because worship changes things. It changes you, it changes me. It makes me more ready to want to love the world. He not only calls us, but He sends us to love the world. And we have to remember, as Pastor Steve emphasized, remember, not went, but sent, which means you have a sender. But when He sends us, He does not send us alone. He sends us with power from above. But let me just add this, it's important. When we say, empower us, we must remember that it must be fire on God's altar and not our altars. Many times when we think of the power from above, the empowerment, we think of this like this. It is the words of Tozer. Calling on God to send fire on our altars, completely ignoring the fact that they are our altars and not God's. May this not be us. May this not be me, Brenda. Come, Holy Spirit. Mission for us has to be mission in Christ's way. And that means following the pattern of Spirit-filled servanthood that characterizes Him. Come, Holy Spirit. I'm going to end here by declaring to you with the confidence of Christ by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is upon me. The Spirit of God is upon you, each of you out there. The Spirit of God is upon us as a community to become that Spirit-empowered community sent to love, sent to bring heaven to earth, and to make His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Jesus, it's so easy for us to come into Your presence and say, Lord, we want to be filled with the Spirit. And yet we are so afraid to let go. We are so afraid to lose control. We are so afraid to relinquish. But Holy Spirit, but Jesus, You say that the Holy Spirit could help us there. And that's precisely why, Jesus, You came, because we couldn't help ourselves. So Jesus, we pray that You'll help us to release control to You, and to trust You, to trust that You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and You are sovereign over everything in this world, and to trust the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, please forgive us if we have undermined or just in any way doubted that You care for us. Forgive us if we look around us and we think, oh, You have given up on us. But instead, give us eyes to see, help us to discern, give us wisdom to know what You are seeing. But even when we don't know, help us to trust.